Welcome to the Reclamation Nation, where we help you reclaim control of your health and wellness. I'm Coach Ryan, a certified personal trainer, health coach, and former military physical trainer with certifications in orthopedic exercise, longevity, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and behavioral change. I have over 30 years in the fitness industry.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer. I'm a practicing pharmacist, health coach, and certified functional medicine specialist. I have over 10 years of personal and professional experience in the health and wellness field.
Our goal is to raise awareness about the responsibility and potential you have in managing your own health.
As a reminder, nothing in this podcast is designed to diagnose, treat, or cure health illnesses, but is presented as educational and entertainment material. Please consult your personal healthcare provider with any specific needs.
And we're back. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Ryan.
How are you doing?
I'm dandy.
Dandy, my word.
Our word.
Would you say sharing is caring?
Sure.
Okay, I'll share my word because I care. And because I care, we are back here, Reclamation Nation, talking about, what are we talking about?
Cookie cutter approach to healthcare, diet, lifestyle, exercise, etc.
And what is, I mean, I think we all know, but outline for us what we're talking about.
So when I'm talking about cookie cutter, and I looked up this, you know, I kind of just Googled this little fun definition just to keep it simple. Cookie cutter approach means that the same approach or style is always used and not enough attention is being paid to individual differences. So what comes to mind for me from like the pharmacist perspective or even functional medicine and health coach perspective, you know, there's so many differences when it comes to our genetic makeup. You know, you got age, gender, race and ethnicity, and then even socioeconomic status. So there's numerous factors that play into everything. So why this concept of a one size fits all? It just, I can't wrap my mind around.
So what is it, do you think, in your head, because I'm not familiar with the clinical side of it as much, what in your head, and as far as the clinical side goes, is the reason for such a cookie cutter approach to healthcare?
I feel like that's a big question, and there's probably a simple answer, but one of the things that just comes to my mind, just based on what I've seen, is there's studies that are supported by pharmaceutical companies, and they ask doctors and, you know, specialists, and there has to be some sort of guideline, right? We can't just shoot darts at a board every time a patient comes in with a symptom and guess and treat. Although, you know, in a nutshell, that's what standard healthcare is. That's what we're doing. And obviously we see it's not working so well. But there has to be some sort of protocol. So that makes sense. Obviously, if you're, let's say, in a hospital setting and you come in with some sort of infection, we're going to check to see what that infection is, find a drug that we know treats that bug, and we're going to try and take care of you. So the same kind of goes with diabetes and cholesterol and high blood pressure treatments. There are studies that have been done a long time ago based on, let's say, your age, your race, and your genetic makeup, things like that, like your family history, a lot of factors that tie in. So they pull that information together. But what I've noticed and what I've learned a lot recently is there's no lab standards that are universal across the board. So a lab company that checks your blood work here in, let's say, Central Florida, where a little bit of a busy urban city, mm-hmm. and very mixed,
right?
Versus somewhere, let's say, in the Midwest, more rural, kind of standard American diet
for hometown. The most part.
Yeah, like your small rural hometown. You know, like the lab companies there have a different parameter when it comes to a normal blood sugar level or a normal cholesterol and high blood pressure or normal cholesterol and blood pressure levels. Their range is completely different from the range here in Central Florida.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that actually kind of freaked me out a little bit. So it's like there's no set lab parameters. So why is there a set drug protocol or treatment protocol for these people? You're going to tell me that the person all the way in Oklahoma versus someone here in Florida is getting the same health care?
When they don't have the same environment, probably don't have the same
diet,
life experience, the same diet, the same anything, really. And then even here in Central Florida, we have so many cultures.
A melting pot.
We truly are a melting pot here. And I see it less, to a lesser degree in my, let's say, in my hometown than I do here. But even there, you know, you've got the German, you've got the Italian, you've got the Irish, you've got a lot of people coming in. And it seems like it would be difficult to say that there is one drug that's going to fix diabetes, whether you're from LA or Oregon or Florida, it doesn't matter. And yet that's what they do.
Right. And that this is why it's one of my biggest pet peeves is I've seen it time and time again where a patient will come into the pharmacy started, you know, we're just going to keep using diabetes as an example. Your standard first drug of choice is metformin. But metformin has specific contraindications even for certain populations and certain organ functions. So if the doctor is not running full panels, which usually they are, but that's still kind of a disservice because, you know, working a lot more now in the functional medicine realm, I'm seeing that there are so many more labs and panels that we should be running that give us a bigger picture to what's going on in this one individual patient. There's way more than what we see in your normal blood tests. And I'll use myself even as an example. I go every year for my annual physical. I do the basic blood panels and things like that. Full checkup, or, you know, I use full in air quotes because I always thought that was a full checkup.
Sure.
And my symptoms never matched my blood results. So I my doctor told me I was healthy. So I kept living life the way I thought I should live my life. And I felt crummy, you know, like I'm tired or fatigued and achy and didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely more to each individual. And I think it's nice to know that there are options out there to test a lot deeper and get a better feel for what's going on in this one individual person. And even to say, you know, two people living in the same home, having the same exposure in the same environment, eating the same foods, we're not going to have the same outcome.
Right.
Like, you know, your nutrition level and what your body needs is completely different from the person sitting next to you. It doesn't matter if you're in the same family with the same bloodline, or if you happen to just be, you know, spouses living in the same home environment.
I see in training, I see a lot of cookie cutter approach, especially for busy trainers. It's just a quick out. It's an easy thing to do. You come up with a program, and nowadays hybrid training is catching on. Hybrid training is where they have maybe three people or four people training at the same time with different programs. I never did like cookie cutter programs because I always knew that, you know, you're not going to take, as an example, two 55-year-old men walk in. One is a busy executive. The other one is a construction foreman. Construction foreman is moving constantly. He's more prone to certain things, repetitive use injuries, than, let's say, the executive who worked his way up from the mailroom and is now he's a CEO of a company. There, you can't train them the same, even though they may be the same race, even though they may be the same age, and even have the same orthopedic issues. You cannot train them the same. And I think that's where trainers get into trouble doing cookie cutter stuff. And I see clients who have come to me and said, yeah, I was doing this group thing over here. You know, the problem with the group thing in training is that you have the option. You can do what everybody else is doing, or you can do what's best for you. And I think in healthcare, people are starting to realize they've been doing what everybody else is doing, and now it's time to do what's best for them.
Oh, yeah. I definitely can attest to that. And I'm thinking the same when it comes to like diet and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to try what works for their friend or their family member, you know, like keto. Not to bash anyone, nothing wrong with the keto diet or paleo or, you know, vegan, any of that. They all have their place and they all have validity when it comes to the right body type. And how do you know if you're the right body type? Well, you can guess, you can experiment, you can try, like do trial and error is the easiest. Ultimately, you would want to test for those things. Like there are genetic tests you can be doing. There are functional medicine tests you can be doing. To know what your metabolic rate is,
right,
or to know what your nutrient status is, or how you're metabolizing certain things, what your gut health is telling you, whether or not you're able to absorb certain things. And there are genes that are either turned on or turned off in certain people that can affect how they metabolize food. So
sure.
I've seen it with certain relatives and even some of my coworkers. You know, oh, my husband did the keto diet and he lost 30 pounds and I did the keto diet and I lost 5. Okay, well, you guys are two completely different people just because you live
genetically different. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's nice that you want to try something different. I'm all for that, but there is a lot more going on way deep inside, you know, like under the skin, all the way down to the cellular level that really identifies us as individuals. And I think that's crucial. I've even seen it in an example of identical twins. You know, like I knew two guys and they owned a restaurant together. Obviously they had the identical, so they had the same genes, but two completely different day-to-day lifestyles. Just because they ran the restaurant together, they were both going home and living individual lives. One was a lot more active, did, you know, stress management, yoga, went for walks with his dog, ate pretty clean. The other, not so much. He had a high stress life, rocky relationship, ate all the fried food at their restaurant, and he ended up having a stroke. And to say, I don't know for sure if, you know, that correlated with his diet, but obviously we know based on studies and just common sense that he was living a little bit of a rocky life, you know? So that all those factors and the high stress and inflammation he had going on was turning on certain genes in his body that was reflective of that, and his brother was not. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. It was.
I have people who come in who will tell me that they lost. We'll just use arbitrary numbers because I don't remember anybody's specific numbers, but they tell me they lost 20 pounds when they switched over to a particular diet. I won't list any particular diet, but they tried a particular diet, they lost 20 pounds, now they're just not losing anymore. And I see the same thing when they start training. They'll say, well, I was doing this boot camp style training and I lost 15 pounds and now I'm still doing it, but I'm not losing anymore. And the tendency is, especially for the trainer, will do more. That's a problem because we know from studies, it was the study that you and I had talked about this before, the study of the Biggest Loser contestants. 6 years in the making of season 8 Biggest Loser contestants, and they found that when you do excessive high intensity interval training, it actually messes with your metabolism.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
And
that's cool.
so it actually slows your metabolism because your body is constantly trying to reach status quo. It constantly wants to be the same. And so when you eat a new diet, you switch to a new diet, your body says, hey, this is pretty cool. We're going to go with this. And you lose a lot of weight, but then your body shifts everything back to normal. And so you stop losing weight. You start a new training program. Your body loses a little bit of weight. Maybe it catches on and shifts everything back to normal. And you stop losing weight. And that's why I don't like cookie cutter programs in training because they don't identify individual needs. You go with a group. And there's a whole reason why people get addicted to group programs that have to do with dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin that are released. Won't get into that today, but there's a whole reason why people get addicted to those group programs, and it really has little to do with the exercise. I don't know where I was going with that, but here
No,
we are.
but actually, you brought up a good point because I can speak to this on a personal level. I've done the high intensity workouts. I've dropped tremendous weight in a short period of time. When I went through that experience, my body stopped craving certain foods, stopped craving junk foods. Obviously, there were chemical changes going on in my body, hormonal changes going on, so that altered my nutrition. And then that led into, you know, a certain lifestyle for me. Kind of fell off that wagon for a while and tried to go back to it. And over, you know, that was a couple of years ago, tried to go back to that to lose that weight again. And that method is no longer working. I'm at a completely different point in my life now than I was 2 years ago. So even the cookie cutter approach within oneself just doesn't make sense. You can try to do the same workouts and the same diets that worked for you in the past, but who you are in your teens and 20s and what your metabolic rate was, what your environment and your stress levels and hormones were like then are probably not the same now, right? So I personally can say like the cookie cutter approach doesn't even work for myself. Like I can't go back on the same diet and nutrition plan because my body has adapted and the status quo has changed. And now I have to try something different, find something different that's going to work this time around.
Humans are constantly evolving, constantly changing, and it's such a dichotomy because they're constantly changing but constantly staying the same. So, you know, I'll have somebody who will come in at the age of 50 or 55, who was, you know, we're big football in Florida. So yeah, maybe they played ball in high school, maybe they went to college, played ball, got a good job, whatever they did, and now they want to try to do the same. And they, it's funny because they keep coming back to, well, when I was in college, which was like 30 years ago.
Okay, but in my defense, college doesn't feel like it was 30 years ago. I mean, it wasn't 30 years ago.
And that's
for
probably
me.
True for most people.
But time is such an interesting concept. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry. So that's another reason, you know, you got to get out of your head. You got to talk to a trainer from the training aspect, which is what I deal with. You've got to talk to a trainer who understands where you're at and can get you to understand that where you are is not where you were. And you may never get back there. But as long as you're moving forward, then you're going to be okay. You've got to be willing to be okay. I wanted to read this quote real quick because it may be relevant, maybe not. This is from a movie called Food Cures. It says, according to the Harvard School of Public Health, if all Americans ate the right foods, they don't list the right foods. It says, if all Americans ate the right foods and exercised regularly and avoided tobacco, the number of heart attacks in the United States would drop by about 82%, strokes would diminish by roughly 70%, type 2 diabetes would practically disappear, and colon cancer rates would decrease by 70%. Food for thought there. I just wanted to throw that out there because I just saw it and I thought it was pretty cool. So anyway.
Well, since we're sharing our favorite quotes, I actually stumbled upon one today that just, it really hit me. It was while I was studying, and it says one person's nutrient may be another person's toxins. And that's just another tie-in to there is no cookie cutter anything, folks.
Right.
We're all thinking on that line of eating the right foods. How do you know what the right food is? Everyone tells you, well, you got to eat better and exercise, you know, just move and change your diet, but no one really tells you how. And right. I think it's ultimately because they don't know themselves.
And when I was at school, the lead instructor there, who was awesome, would tell us anytime a doctor tells you how to get healthy, right? They always say eat better always comes first. And then exercise is next. Now, the reason the doctor never tells you what you should be eating is because only 6% of all physicians in the United States have any formal nutritional education. So they're not going to tell you what you should be eating. We had talked earlier about a lot of trainers will tell their clients to eat certain foods. Kale is big, broccoli is big, rice is big, and chicken. So if you're, as long as, you know, when they talk about eating clean, sometimes they'll put red meat in there. But a lot of times people have the stigma of not eating red meat because for whatever reason, studies have shown that chicken and red meat do the exact same thing to your cholesterol. It has no bearing on your cholesterol. So if you're eating a lot of chicken, a lot of kale, a lot of rice, a lot of broccoli, all of those foods have vitamin K. Vitamin K is an antidote for warfarin, which is a...
This is standard blood thinner.
Standard blood thinner. So let's say you have a client who is coming to you for weight loss, who happens to be on a blood thinner on a regular basis, and you're telling them on a regular basis to consistently eat foods that are going to counteract the medication they're taking for a life-threatening illness, that's not good.
No, and that's actually out of your realm also. I mean, there's a little bit of a caveat there. There's pharmacists who do counseling all day long with patients, and then there's personal trainers who are also wanting to give the health and nutritional advice. But there's a governing body over dietetics even. So even within the pharmacy, I'm not really allowed to tell a patient you have to eat this or you have to eat that. Even when I counsel on warfarin and blood thinners, I just tell them, if you're going to eat your leafy greens, make sure you eat them consistently. I never knew what the heck that meant. I just said it to my patients because that's what I was taught in pharmacy school. Just tell them to eat it consistently. You know, like there's no definition. Your doctor is not going to tell you, I want you to eat this and eat that and be very specific and detailed. Because like you said, they don't have as much advanced formal training. So that's where the whole referral out to a nutritionist is going to come into play.
I think people get sidetracked because they think that their doctor is going to know everything. And as you and I have talked, Western medicine is not here to be bashed. Western medicine is what we call modern medicine is awesome. It's great in its place. It is a wonderful thing. If you have a broken arm, you know, don't go meditate. I mean, you know, you need to see a doctor for certain things, and there are certain areas where physicians are the people you need to see. However, they don't need to be the end all and be all of your healthcare. And I think that's really what we're trying to push with this whole podcast is there are other options. You don't need to follow the herd. You don't need to be in that cookie cutter and just say, well, I do my checkup once a year and that's good for me.
No, that's really not enough. You're just scratching the surface and you're doing yourself a disservice and ultimately your lineage, you know, like monkey see, monkey do. So whatever you teach your children, that's what they're going to grow up to do. And they're going to keep passing that on. So I feel like it's important to even have this conversation. There are other healthcare options. There are other modalities of treatment out there. And I used to be one of those very closed-minded when it came to Eastern medicine. I was trained in a formal Western medicine-based pharmacy school here in the United States. And I got a beautiful education. I learned so much and I've had a great career as a pharmacist. But I do feel like it was a bit unfair to not know that there were other options out there when it came to healthcare. It's interesting nowadays to talk with my sister who studies Eastern and Chinese medicine and herbs and just have that open dialogue. You don't necessarily have to agree on everything, but it's nice to hear what works for some people and what works for others. Because again, back to the whole theme, there is no one size fits all for healthcare. And it's just, I want to bring awareness to the fact that there are other options out there for people to seek.
And you're not going to know what's the best option for you. Again, you can do what everybody's doing. You can do what's best for you. And the only way to know what's best for you is to talk to someone who has experience in that area, like a health coach, a functional medicine specialist. It's your best bet to talk to other people besides your physician. And I'm not talking other medical specialists. I'm talking people that you might look at with a bit of a side eye. You know, maybe you've heard about this, but it sounds a little too far out there.
We call it woo-woo medicine. You can say it. It's fine. Woo-woo medicine. Well,
pseudoscience is the technical term
for it. Well, sure. But it works. And I feel like it works for the people who have tried it. And if you're willing to try it, you have the opportunity to see it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And listen, if it doesn't work for you, at least you stepped out and you tried it. At least, you know, I can't imagine knowing the test, because you ran tests on me, you ran tests on you, you ran tests on your mom.
Yep.
So these are things that my physician, and, you know, I was in the military for 10 years. No doctor ever, you know, cut my hair and sent a hair sample in to find out where I was toxic. That has never happened. And so it makes sense now, looking at functional medicine, why a person would want to do that. If you're going to the doctor for the same symptoms constantly and all they're doing is increasing your dosage on a medicine, something's not right.
I couldn't agree more. And honestly, just finding these labs and being able to run them on myself has been a complete game changer. Obviously, I was working in a very high stress environment. So my stress levels were through the roof. It was affecting my sleep, which was affecting the way I would eat and crave food, which ultimately was affecting my exercise. All just going round and round in a big vicious cycle. But finally, having run these labs and seeing exactly what's functioning in my body or malfunctioning, I knew where to target my treatment. I knew where to focus and what to adjust first, because our body, like you said, it wants to be in balance. When you're having hot flashes or when your skin is breaking out or if you're having mood swings, all of that is a sign of an imbalance. Something's at a shift, and even learning how to take the right vitamins for my body.
Right.
Come to find out some of the supplements I was taking before were completely wrong.
Yeah.
So it answers more questions than I even knew I had to begin with.
I think a lot of people, you know, when you ask them what's wrong, they'll say, well, I've got this rash. Well, that's a symptom of what's wrong. That's not actually what's wrong.
Exactly.
There's something causing that. Like, that is the cause. That is the result of something else.
Well, even a lot of autoimmune disorders like lupus and thyroid issues are usually stemming from something else. They didn't just pop up out of nowhere. Yes, your genes and family history have something to do with it, but that's actually going to tie into next week's episode. We're going to talk about epigenetics.
Epigenetics.
So you all have genes. You're all very similar. Like you said, my mom and I ran labs, and I'm very much similar to my mom, but we're living two completely different lives, and our environments and everything we're exposed to in a day-to-day is turning on and off certain genes. So we're manifesting things differently in a physical aspect or even emotional aspect. So
I think that Western medicine tends to treat the symptom, get you back out the door, and then it's up to you. Now, a lot of hospitals are bringing on health coaches to help you with your lifestyle, but it'll be interesting to hear what epigenetics is all about, because I'm not as familiar with that as you are. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but we're going to find out.
Well, there's a lot to it, and it's going to be interesting. A lot of it just ties right back into diet and our environment. And yeah, we're definitely going to delve deep into that one next time.
All right. What else do we want to cover tonight? Anything else?
I think that was the gist of it. We talked about cookie cutter diets, why they don't make sense, why you shouldn't be eating what your next door neighbor is eating. We talked about exercise.
Right.
What someone gains from yoga, someone else is not going to gain in like a bodybuilding setting.
Right.
Everyone's different. And I think it's a beautiful thing to know that we're all individuals, but at the same time, we forget that we're individuals. So you can't really pick and choose. You're an individual all the time.
Right.
You have to work on yourself.
Yep.
High five.
High five. Nice.
For the books.
See you guys.
Bye.